There's a whole Gemara there that discusses the very handsome nature of Rabbi Yechonon. Says the Gemara once again, Omri Lei Rabbonon. So the Rabbonon said to him, Loiko Mistafi Mar Me Eino Bisha. Are you not afraid? The first question in the first story was, are you not afraid of the Yetzer Hara? And here the question is, are you not afraid of an Ayin Hara? By having all these people in Abisha. The Ayin Abisha, the Ayin Hara, was not Shoilet, had no control, as it were, over him, could not get the better of Yosef, and said, Rabbi Yechonon, I am a descendant of Rabbi Yosef, of Yosef. So if Yosef was not subject to an Ayin Hara, neither will I. How do we know that Yosef HaTzadik was not subject to the Yetzer Hara? Because it says, Dechsiv, it's a pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, Ben Poiras Yosef, Ben Poiras Ale Ayin. What does it mean? Ale Ayin, V'omer Ravo, Al Tikri Ale Ayin, Elo Oile Ayin. What does that mean? Oile Ayin, says Rashi. Oile Ayin means Mesulokin Min Ha'ayin, removed from the eye, meaning She'eino Shoiletes Bohen, meaning the ayin, the eye, is not shoilet, has no control over them. Therefore, Rabbi Yechonon, who is similarly a descendant of Yosef, was also not afraid of Yosef HaTzadik, was therefore not afraid that the ayin hara would get the better of him, and therefore he was able to sit there even though everybody was looking at him.
Just a question.
Yeah.
Considering his brothers were very jealous of him and hated him and sold him, isn't that kind of a stira that he didn't have an ayin hara? Like,
no. An ayin hara is a force of evil, as it were. But if al pi darkei hateva, as it were, the brothers hated him, etc., etc., that's not an ayin hara.
Well, he got the coat. Isn't that when Ayin Hara comes from? If you have something and other people can see it and be jealous of it.
Again, being jealous is on a simple level has nothing to do with an Ayin Hara. Torah says, Leisach Moed, or don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. He had a very particularly nice coat and they were jealous. Ayin Hara is, as far as I understand, it's a force. It's a koyach. It's a force. Like in this particular case, the Gemara was asking Rabbi Yechonon, are you worried that the Ayin Hara will get the better of you? Nothing to do with being jealous or anything like that. There's a certain koyach of an Ayin Hara, an evil spirit. And that did not get the better of Yosef HaTzadik. Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina Amar Mehacha, V'yidgu L'Roiv B'Kerev Haaretz. This was the bracha that was given to the children of Yosef, meaning Menashe and Ephraim. V'yidgu L'Roiv B'Kerev Haaretz. Which we say, the yidgu is a lashon of fish, dogim. Ma dogim shebayam, just like fish in the sea, mayim machasim aleihem, the waters completely cover them. Ve'ein ayin hara shoiletes bohem, an ayin hara cannot be shoilet over fish. Af zare shel Yosef, ein ayin hara shoiletes bohem either. So this is a second source which suggests the same thing, that the descendants of Yosef are not subject to Ayin Hara. Says the Gemara in conclusion, the Ibois Ema. Alternative, we can suggest, Ayin Sheloi Rotzasa Lozun Mima She'enoi Sheloi. The eye that did not want to sustain itself from that which wasn't his. What is that referring to? Rashi says, Lehonois Me'eshes Adoinov, to benefit in any way his master's wife. This is clearly a reference to Eshes Potiphar. His eye, in the case of the Nisoyin with Eshes Potiphar, did not allow him to be Nichshal. So you see that his eye did not get the better of him. Therefore, Eina Ayin Hara Shoiletes Boi. So Yosef HaTzadik, who did not let his eye get the better of him, indeed, the Ayin Hara is not shoilet over him or over his descendants. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, who was a descendant of Yosef, said, I needn't be afraid of Ayin Hara, because in our family, the descendants of Yosef know that the Ayin Hara cannot be shoilet. And that is the end of the sugya. And we now begin a brand new, totally unrelated, very, very yesodistic sugya. Let's at least make a start in the remaining time that we have. Zot the Mishnah. Noshim va'avodim uktanim, women, slaves, and minors, paturin mikriya shema. All three of them are exempt from kriya shema, number one. Number two, minha tfilin. They are also, all three of them, noshim va'avodim uktanim, are all exempt from putting on tfilin. However, v'chayovin betfilah, they're all obligated to daven, uba mezuzah, the mitzvah of mezuzah, uba birkas hamozen. This is a very, very, very important Mishnah, an important sugya, which we have to take slowly. The Mishnah has mentioned five different mitzvahs. Kriya Shema and Tfilin, on the one hand, and Tfilah Mezuzah and Birkas HaMazon on the other. For the moment, let's learn the simple reading of the Mishnah, although a Tosfos perhaps suggests otherwise. We must see this Tosfos. The simple reading of the Mishnah seems to indicate that Noshim Va'avodim V'Ketanim, all three are exempt from the first two mitzvahs and are obligated in the last three. So they're exempt from Kriya Shema and Tfilin. They're obligated in Tfilah, Mezuzah, and Birkas HaMazon. For the moment, the Mishnah does not specify what type of Ketanim we are dealing with. As we always know, Ketanim must be distinguished, must always be differentiated between two types of ketanim. There is the katan who has not yet reached the age of chinuch, and there is the katan who has reached the age of chinuch. The Mishnah, we'll have to see the Rishonim, the Mishnah for the moment does not seem to make any distinction between the two. So it sounds like all noshim, all avodim, and all ketanim are exempt in the first two, obligated in the last three. Now, essentially, we know that Noshim, let's take this very slowly. What type of mitzvahs do Noshim have an exemption from? So we know there are two types. One type of general rule is the famous principle, which we've come across on a number of occasions, mitzvahs asei shazman gromo, commonly translated, time governed positive mitzvahs. Time governed positive mitzvahs. We must not make a mistake. Eating chametz on Pesach is also time governed, but it's not a positive mitzvah, it's a loisa asei. So obviously noshim are included in that. But where you have a time governed positive mitzvah, like kriya shema, or shofar, or lulav, or sukkah and the like, then women are essentially exempt. That's one type. There is another type, which is not our discussion, and that is on occasion the Torah will specifically write with regard to a particular mitzvah, ish veloy isha, or b'nei Yisrael veloy b'nei Yisrael. So sometimes we have a particular drasha to teach us that a woman is exempt. But other than that, the general rule is, if it's time governed, they are exempt. And if it's not time governed, then they're obligated. What about avodim? Now, we mustn't make a mistake over here. Which eved are we talking about over here? We are not talking about a eved ivri, a Jewish slave. A Jewish slave is a fully fledged Jew and is obviously obligated in all the mitzvahs. We are talking about a non-Jewish slave, an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani has a very strange status. Is an Eved Kanani Jewish or non-Jewish? And the answer is, essentially he's non-Jewish. He's Eved Kanani, he's never gone through Geirus. And yet, as long as he is under the jurisdiction of his Jewish owner, he is obligated with all the same mitzvahs that an isha would be obligated in. Which is the reason why we always group together noshim va'avodim. So if a woman is exempt from Kriya Shema, necessarily avodim are also exempt. Now, ketanim is a completely different category. Ketanim has nothing to do with noshim. We could be talking about male children. The patur of ketanim is an altogether different patur, and that is because if you're under bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, you're not mechuyev in any mitzvahs. So therefore, really, the group of noshim va'avodim and ketanim, it's really two lists, two categories. There's a category of noshim va'avodim and the category of ketanim. Let's see Rashi. Noshim va'avodim uketanim peturim mekriya shema. Why? Shehi mitzvahs asei shazman garoma. Because it's a positive mitzvah, which is time governed. The kaimalon bekidushim, and we hold in the Masecht of Kiddushim, the noshim peturais midoei raisa. Women are absolutely exempt from time governed mitzvahs, which is why a woman is not obligated to shake a lulav, sit in the sukkah, hear the shofar, etc., etc. In parenthesis, there is an enormous discussion, as we well know, even though they're exempt, but if they do decide to be mekayim the mitzvah, can they make a brocha? The answer in one line is, if you are an Ashkenazi, then the answer is yes. So a woman who eats in the sukkah is not obligated to do so whatsoever. But if she decides to do so, then she can make a bracha, so too on shofar, so too on lulav. But the bottom line is, she's absolutely not obligated. Says Rashi, that's with regard to Kriya Shema. So we all understand, obviously, Kriya Shema is a time-governed mitzvah. It's once a day, it's in the morning hours. What about tefillin? Says Rashi, the tefillin nami, same is true as well. Tefillin is also mitzvah sasei shazman garoma. Why? The sobar, because this Mishnah clearly holds that laila v'shabbos lav zman tefillin ninu. They are not the zman of tefillin. So every day you have all the night hours where there is no mitzvah. So to Shabbos, there is no mitzvah, even day hours. So you see, it's very much time governed. So once again, women are potter. That's with regard to Noshim Va'avodim. So we understand very well, as we explained, why Rashi explains Noshim and Avodim all in the same category. But what about Ketanim now? We have a separate Rashi explaining Ketanim, because as we explained, Ketanim has nothing to do with mitzvah seishas mangaroma. Says Rashi, Ketanim, afilu koten shehigia lachinoch. So Rashi now tells us a tremendous chiddush. We'll have to see, it won't be today, but Be'ezus Hashem on Sunday. Rashi tells us a tremendous chiddush that the Ketanim being mentioned in our Mishnah are referring even to Ketanim Shehigia Legil Chinuch. Now, why should that be? Afilu Koten Shehigia Lechinuch Loi Hitilu Al Oviv. They did not place, who's they? Chazal did not place on the father Lechancho an obligation to be Mechanachim. Even though with regard to other mitzvahs, once the child reaches the age of chinuch, then the father is obligated to be mechanachim, like lulav and matzah and shofar. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, even though the child has reached the age of chinuch, there is no mitzvah of chinuch on the father to obligate him, to educate him, to be mekayim Kriya Shema. Why not? Lefi, because she'einoi motsui tomid, because the child is not always available k'shemagia zman Kriya Shema. When the zman of Kriya Shema comes about, imagine you live in Europe, you live in England, where in the summer, Tzeis HaKoychovim is at 10:30 at night, So even if you have a child who's reached the age of chinuch, he's 6 or 7 years old, but it may well be that at 10:30 at night, he's not around, he's long fast asleep. So it cannot be, says Rashi, a big chidush, that Chazal obligated the father to be machanachim, because at least some of the time, Rashi didn't say never, Rashi just said he's not around tamid. He's not always around. In the winter, like now, it's obviously no problem. Tesach Chavim is at 5:20. But in the summer, when it's 10:30, the child is not around. And under those circumstances, we certainly don't expect the father to have to wake up the child to be mechanechim to say Kriya Shema. And therefore, says Rashi, a whopping chiddush, they completely absolve the father of any obligation whatsoever in being mechanechim with regard to Kriya Shema. Now, obviously, and we'll have to hold it over here, that's not an explanation for tefillin. Tefillin one could put in first thing in the morning. So have a look briefly at the top Rashi on the next page. Rashi says, Umina tefillin, mishum de stam cotton, einoi yoidea lishmoir gufoi. Because the average child does not know how to look after his guf, shelo yafiach bahen, and that's the exemption there. So in the case of Kriya Shema, the exemption is based on the fact that he's not always around at the Zman of Kriya Shema. Tefillin, the exemption is based on the fact that he's not able, the standard child, to keep a guf noki. So in both cases, Rashi maintains that even if the child is a Gia, Legil,